My guest at this time is Brian Kilmeade. You know him as one of the co-hosts of the Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends every weekday morning. He is also the host of the Kilmeade and Friends radio show, and he is the lead author of the brand new book, George Washington's Secret Six, the spy ring that saved the American Revolution. And if you thought you knew about how America's independence was secured on the battlefield, you have to know this story to have a better picture of exactly what happened well over 200 years ago. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
No, thanks for saying that, and thanks for reading it.
Absolutely. I've read most of it, and I look forward to reading the rest of it. But what happened here, of course, is that after initially a pretty promising start to 1776 on the battlefield up in Boston, the battle for New York and Long Island went disastrously for the revolutionaries. And as a result, they darn near got wiped out right then. And that's when General Washington realized he needed an effective spy ring. And he pretty much delegated the whole thing to a guy named Benjamin Talmadge. There wasn't really a whole lot of structure to how this was supposed to work. So how did this end up being put together?
It's a couple of things, and you pretty much nailed the beginning of it. And what is, Washington knew he could not take on the British head-to-head. And growing up in New York, I thought I knew the war. I had no idea that Washington had to use covert forces in order to win the war, to the point he was so good at it, and the people he picked were so perfect. You know, it took about almost 160 years before we found out who exactly they were. So they were able to infiltrate the British, who took over New York and Long Island. New York, just picture this, back then, as you know, it was the center. It was the center of the 13 colonies. And if you lose New York, you're not going to win the war. If you don't get it back, you're not going to win the war. Washington knew he had to get it back. So with, you know, all candor, he asked for the volunteers to go there and tell him what's going on, to find out the structure of the forces. And Nathan Hale put his hand up. Nathan Hale said, sounds good. He's like, but you have no background. You don't even know Long Island. He goes, but you know, I'm a school teacher from Yale. I'm a smart guy. I'll figure it out. Well, within a day and a half, he gets hanged on 66th and 3rd in New York City. He's dead. And Washington goes, I got to do this right, and I can't win without him. So he asked Talmadge to go find people that understand the cause, they're willing to risk their lives, and they would not be suspected as being agents. So he gets six civilian spies, and that's where the Secret Six came from. And they worked for 3.5-4 years. In a way in which, when I went to Langley, Virginia, to see how good they were, they told me not only were they good, we teach our men and women that we hire today what they learned in the middle of a war with no covert forces training. And they were able to stop Benedict Arnold for giving away West Point. They would have stopped a counterfeit ring that there was going to make Washington's new country have their money worth nothing. Therefore, the forces weren't getting paid and they'd all leave. And they were also able to get the Battle of Yorktown ahead of time. And we just found that out for our work and our research looking at George Washington's stepson's documents. It said that George Washington came in and thanked this writer for a Loyalist newspaper named James Rivington. Why would he do that? Well, because Rivington would interview the forces and give the information to Washington. So we were able to put this together, and I kept stopping when I started researching this years ago and thinking, is this real? Am someone making this up? Because it reads like a spy novel, and the fact that these guys lived and died, and one woman, five guys and one woman, lived and died without ever getting a pat on the back, a thank you, or any remuneration, just made me think as though, like, I got to bring this ring forward and talk about it in a way in which would give them the acclaim they need.
And as you mentioned, the ringleader, who ended up being Robert Townsend, wasn't uncovered until the early part of last century, and we still don't know who the woman was, right?
Right. I tried so hard. We all tried so hard, me and Don, and we have people helping us out to find out who 355 was. And in case you don't know, like likely you won't, there was a key, and there was only six copies. So everyone had a number. Washington had a number 712 and number 55. New York had a number, and The Path had a number. Calumet Brewster, who used to row across the Long Island Sound, had a number. So if they got caught, not only were they using invisible ink, not only they're writing between the lines, if you were able to find out how to bring the invisible ink to life, find out what page the encryption was on, you would still only know the numbers of the people there, not the people. And this woman infiltrated the social scene. We know that for sure. She found out where the parties were. She found out that there was an American general about to turn sides, Patriot general about to switch sides, and Washington was able to figure out it was Benedict Arnold. And he was so close to being captured himself. And if they weren't able to unearth this, the West Point would have went to the British. The Hudson would have went to the British. And we don't win the war. And that's what these men and women did, and that's what she did. We're pretty sure, we're 99% sure she did not survive the war. And she ended up dying when Benedict Arnold was finally found out that the spy ring beat him. He was determined to find out where these spies were, and the first one he grabbed and figured out was her. She would eventually die.
As you and Don point out in the book, Talmadge finds this guy named Abraham Woodhull, and he ends up recruiting some of these other guys, including Robert Townsend. So were there general ideas of how this ring was supposed to be constructed, or did these guys just kind of figure it out as they went along?
That's a great question. And what they said is, we have to find out what's going on Long Island, and that's important. But most of all, we have to find out what's going on in New York City. And just like today, it was a bustling, happening place of commerce, fun and partying and hookers and debauchery and a lot of officers and all the war planning. So they said, we need somebody that had a reason to go to Manhattan. And Robert Townsend did. He had a family business there, and his house was billeted by the British. So they wanted him out of his house in Oyster Bay anyway. So he figured he has an alibi, a reason to be there to conduct business, and he went in there and did it. At which time, he also was able to observe things, write them down. He knew the shipping industry. His dad owned ships. And he was also able to become a reporter for a newspaper, Rivington's newspaper, and interview the very soldiers that was trying to dominate the colonies. He'd print those stories, and it would go to Britain. But he would also be able to take that information and give it to Washington. And amazingly, they'd be handed off to an agent named Austin Rowe, who owned a tavern 55 miles from the city. He'd show up. He'd grab the papers. He'd have a reason to buy some commerce there because he owned a tavern. He'd buy something from Robert Townsend. In Robert Townsend's materials that he would sell to him would be this information. And he'd have that perilous ride 55 miles back to his tavern, and from there, get it to Caleb Brewster, who would row across the Sound to get it to Washington on the other side.
To what extent did the British get wind of this? You mentioned the invisible ink and all the other things that even if they had found these materials, that it wouldn't have been much good to them since they didn't know the code and so forth. But did they have the foggiest idea of how detailed and how clever this system was?
Well, they did not know the details. And, you know, what we have, the first quote of the book is, Washington didn't defeat us, he outspied us. They knew he had spies, they didn't know where they were. They knew something in Setauket, Long Island was up there. They knew there was somebody in Manhattan, but they didn't suspect Robert. And they certainly didn't suspect Rivington, the publisher of the Royal Gazette. However, they knew somebody was there, and they knew they were being watched, but they just didn't know who. One time, they had so many close calls, but Robert Abraham Woodhull was a farming family. He was the one taking the major risks early and going back and forth to Manhattan. And the British figured it out, that he was up to something, and they go to find him at his house. He's not there, so they just beat the hell out of his dad, and they scare him. He goes, this is a message to your son. And the son said, listen, you know, Dad, I got to stay, keep a low profile for a while. He feels horrible. He almost quits. But he goes, I got to get somebody else to make this trip. That's when he hopped on his horse and convinced Robert Townsend, you got to be the guy. And he was a guy, and he was amazing, and we found letters from his life afterwards, and for us, it looks like he had PTSD. He never got his life together afterwards. He never really accomplished anything significant. He married, had no kids, but it looked as though after this war, it was so nerve-wracking for him that he never really got his act together, and you have letters from his brother saying, hey, Robert, war's over. Got to turn the page. But he did such extraordinary things. Washington couldn't believe the great work he did. But he was unable to pick up where he left off. And he was in the middle of a thriving business career. But in terms of the British knowing, the British started to anticipate something, especially after the French pulled into Rhode Island. As they're pulling in, the British got word of it. And that got to the spies. So the spies got the message to Washington, they're coming to cut off the French in Rhode Island. And Washington said, after saying thank you, said, I got an idea. Let's invent a fake attack into New York, keep the British forces home to protect them, and allow the French to come in. And that's exactly what happened. So it's all thanks to these covert spies.
Brian, you mentioned before that espionage trainers today say that this is absolutely textbook way to conduct spying. How much of this project for you, and if you read the intro, I know you've been studying this for a very long time, how much was of this was about fleshing in some of the details about why we won this war, and how much of it was about looking at how the American Revolution in particular and some of these heroic figures are often sanitized into the most simple of terms and ideas, and helping people realize, you know, it was just as complicated and just as subversive back then.
Oh, yeah, and that is the point, really. I mean, I wrote the book for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't want to say I could do it better than Morton Pennypacker in 1930. I don't want to say I could do it better than a different author that might wrote something in 1960. I want to give all of them credit for what they did and move the story forward. In fact, I start with Morton Pennypacker finding the first spy in 1929. I found the letter he sent to somebody to authenticate the letters and compare Robert Townsend to Culper Jr. That was his handle, Culper Jr. And we found the letter back from the guy in New York City who said, "This is the same guy. Whoever you found, this is amazing. You have found the last spy." Can you imagine the pride Teddy Roosevelt would have felt had he known he had another great patriot in Oyster Bay, Long Island? So I realized, and I went to visit their graves. They're all nondescript graves, and Robert Townsend Casey's in the back of a barn. He lived and died without any acclaim. When Washington went to thank him, he never showed up. They remind me of Americans today. When I talk to men and women who serve in war, they don't want the acclaim, even the Congressional Medals of Honor. They don't want to take it because they don't want to signal themselves out. They do it for their country. They do it for the cause. And I couldn't believe the straight line to how everyone felt then to a those who fight the wars now.
Fascinating. Fascinating book, and great history that, as you mentioned, has been dug up little by little through great research over the years, and including the work that you and Don did, as well as others on this book. Brian, congratulations, and thanks for giving us a taste of what folks can read here.
Thanks, and if anybody wants the book autographed, I cut a deal with my people in Massapequa, Barnes & Noble. You go to briankilmeade.com, and I'll be able to show up once a week, sign them, and send them before the holidays.
Fantastic. Brian, congratulations again. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends, host of Kilmeade and Friends on the radio, the new book, along with Don Yeager, George Washington's Secret Six, The Spy Ring That Saved the American Revolution. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.